We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
We're not going to get kicked out of a press conference. We're not getting appearance fees, but we are going to preview the RBC Open and Canadian Open, and we'll probably talk a little LIV as well. You're listening to Gaming Golf with Jeff Ritter, Scott Jensen, and Jeff Erickson. We'll be right there after all this. Hey, everybody. Welcome to Gaming Golf. Jeff Erickson here with Jeff Ritter and Scott Jenstad. And I already cut off Jeff Ritter once. We're off to a flying start. It's a super busy, crazy week right now in golf. Guys, I mean, I want to talk RBC and I want to talk Memorial. But, I mean, how can you not start off with all the shenanigans going on at the LIV Tour?
It's wild. It's just there's news flying out left and right. Every player's had to make their own decision, right, about whether they're going to participate. Every decision carries, you know, weight and things behind it. And every player has a story now to tell. And so it's just very, very busy time on the golf news beat. And yeah, Tiger, you know, is out of the U.S. Open too.
Yeah, that too. Oh, yeah. Oh, Tiger Woods. Yeah.
Carry on top. So, but Phil will be there. So it's just, you know, it's just very busy. It's insane. It's, seeing people will just hand in their PGA Tour membership is pretty wild. I mean, there's just something very, very final about that and very serious about that, that I think makes it hit home even a little heavier of like what this is and where this is going.
Somewhat fitting that Kevin Na's final tournament is at Colonial. But, you know, I don't know. I mean, he didn't play Memorial last week, right?
No, he did not. I mean, I assume he'll be at the U.S. Open, I love
Kevin Na weighing in on like how the Ryder Cup points will work in this. Like that would ever be a consideration for Kevin Na.
he almost made a President's Cup team, didn't he? He was like almost like, there for Kevin.
Yeah, but if like DJ wants to weigh in on that, sure. But Kevin Na, like, come on. But question is are we going LIV Tour or LIV Tour? Is there like an official like way to say it? I don't even know.
I say it live. I feel like I hear that the most. I heard that they actually, I think the intent was it for it to be the Roman numeral 54, but I don't know that that will ever catch on at this point.
That's like Super Bowls only, right?
Yeah. And a lot of their marketing stuff, it looks like you would read it as live, like the, you know.
I wish like all these press conferences are so bad. I just wish one of the guys would be like, you know what? I'm still competing in a profession I love, and they offered me just more money than I could turn down, and that's kind of the way it worked out. Like, we know why they're going. I don't know. I think I just have more respect for if someone's just honest about it. Like, DJ, they offered him more money he's made in the tour ever. Like, just be honest. I mean, I don't think anybody would be that offended if you just were like, they offered me so much money, I just couldn't say no.
It's wild to me that Phil's getting more than DJ.
Yeah. 200 million? That's bonkers.
Yeah.
Allegedly.
Allegedly, yeah. There you go.
Right.
And apparently some of that like works off like as you if you win, you don't get like some of that's already built in kind of front end money, I heard too. But I mean, it's still, it's an ungodly amount of money to go play golf.
Yeah, it is. The DJ one blows me away because he maybe in just prize money, DJ hasn't made that, but right. in endorsements and appearance fees and all that, I bet you he's there.
Do you guys think like all endorsements go away once this all kind of plays out and he's playing on TV in front of, you know, 500 people and all that, and, you know, not popular and people are upset about it? You think endorsements go away?
If endorsements is tricky because there's a lot of companies that still do business in Saudi Arabia that are, they're just global and probably not going to cancel, you know, it's just going to vary company, but I don't think companies are just going to, in mass, like everybody on this tour is going to have no endorsements. Right. I don't think it's going
to
happen.
You just wonder, like someone like Adidas, like they pay DJ to be on TV, you know, 6 hours a day for a full weekend, and with a certain amount of millions of people watching. And that's just, I mean, the viewership's not going to be anywhere near what we're used to.
What do you think the YouTube numbers are going to do?
I mean, does anyone, aside from this week when it's kind of like the newsworthy story, like after that, is anybody going to care? Like, are you really going to go watch a tournament where there's like four or five guys you know playing and then nobody else? I don't see the interest of it beyond like a kind of USFL. Like, if you really, really love golf, you really, really love football, and that's all you want to watch on a Sunday.
Sure.
I just don't think golf has that. I mean, people love golf. People love watching golf. But I think a casual fan will just turn on the PGA on a Sunday afternoon, not the Live Tour to see DJ and Louis and Phil and a couple other guys. Maybe the weekend's Phil's plays, but I think that's about it.
Yeah.
I think they're going to need to cycle players in and out. I think, you know, if Ricky is, did Ricky officially jump in? I don't know. I didn't see that. I thought I read somewhere that he was on his way, I don't think Liv's intent is to have this be the 48 guys that just travel around and play it. Like, they kind of want some of the bigger stars bumping, and they want the fields to be larger and just more dynamic. So I think that a lot of the interest will depend on that, as their ability to continue to recruit and build up.
Yeah. I think that the model is similar to what soccer tried to do, where the top teams, the Premier League and the La Liga, and, you know, they try to form their own cartel and have like their own super league basically. But the fan backlash was so great that they backed out on it the last second. I think that they're trying to kind of, not that result they're trying to model, but that whole like guaranteed that these top names are guaranteed. But have we heard that, you know, the U.S. Open's going to allow these players to play?
They said they had a press release this morning that said that they went over it, and they, as long as you're qualified, you're allowed to play.
Interesting. I would have thought USGA would have been in lockstep with the PGA, but not so much, huh?
No, there's like a three paragraph press release they put out and pretty much said, you know, they can't get involved in all kinds of stuff, but they're going with anybody that's qualified and under their rules. That's what they're going forward with for now.
Well, I got to imagine the Masters will follow suit then, right?
I would guess. I mean, the Masters, each organization is going to make their own decision, but this certainly, you know, this sets the bar.
Yeah. Sure feels like these guys can play three majors a year if they want to.
Yep. Yeah. That's, and the TPC's out too, and all those, but yeah. Anyways, it's a wild and developing story. And of course the list dropped like nanoseconds after we finished recording last week. And, you know, God, DJ.
I wish I'd seen it. I would have traded DJ to one of you guys for sure. And
pennies on the dollar. Yeah. I could have climbed out all the way up to 13th with that massive windfall. No, he would have gotten DQ'd for putting some substance on his clubs too. But
brutal. Yeah. I'm still hurt by that Hideki one. I had a 5-6 lineup in DK that actually cashed with Hideki getting 2 points. But what could have been?
I was 6-6, but it was kind of like a cash. I didn't have like anybody in the top five. Cam Young shot like a 97 on Sunday.
That round was insane. I think it actually was like 87 or something, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was really bad. It was like he had Erickson putting for him or something like that. I don't know, but it was really bad. All right, let's move on to RBC. There's a lot going on here with the Canadian Open. Good field, actually, especially in light of Liv, in light of it being the week before the U.S. Open. I would have thought it would have been, I didn't think it would, some people like to use it as a tune-up, but I would have thought it would have been closer to some of these lesser tournaments, not the good field that we have.
Yeah, it did surprise me when I sort of like just came up for air and looked at this field to see Oh, you got Justin Thomas. You got Rory McIlroy, Scotty Scheffler, World Tour. You know, he's still in there. So the top tier is really tough this week. I mean, you still got a lot of the players who are the hottest in the game right now, looking for a U.S. Open tune-up. And so here we go. It is an interesting week on tour for sure. And I don't think this golf course is going to play anything like Brookline. I mean, this is a relatively short and a quirky golf course with thick rough, and it's all accuracy and approaches and short. It's just a little different than a U.S. Open track, but it has its charm and its quirks, and it produces a variety of winners. So I am looking forward to it.
Yeah. I feel like it's tough from a DFS angle, because the top of the end of the bracket or the field is really good, but it falls off really fast. Like when you get to like
that's true
93, 9200, depends if how you feel like Chris Kirk or Sebastian Munoz. Like you get to that range and it falls off super fast. It is hard to find guys that are cheap this week, and it's tough because there's so many great players over 9400 you want to play, but finding cheap guys this week, the depth of the field is really weak. It's just the top end is really, really, really good.
Well, there you go. So, I guess that's the trade-off there. Let's jump right into it. So the top end, there are six golfers at 10,000 or more. Starting off, Scotty Scheffler at 11-1. As you alluded, JT's playing at 10-9. Rory McIlroy seems to be playing all the RBCs. He's at 10-5. Cam Smith's at 10-3. Shane Lowry's at 10-1. Sam Burns at 10,000. This is a really strong top of the order here. Jeff Ritter, who do you like?
First, I want to welcome Shane Lowry to the 10,000 tier.
Right.
He's been playing great all year, and DraftKings has finally caught up to it. So I think I'm still inclined. I think if you can fit Scheffler in your lineup, I would sign off on that just based on, I mean, what's the worst he's done lately is lose a playoff, or he's had, I just been so hot. I think also this is a great Cam Smith golf course setup. You know, again, he is, I think, arguably he possesses the best short game on tour right now. And if you can get around greens that are tricky, quirky, short golf course, I think this is another one that is set up for Smith. And so, I mean, if you can make Scheffler work, if you can make Justin Thomas work, you know, I don't know. He had his win and then, you know, the predictable letdown, and let's see. Now it's the build back up. He's still having a great season and deserves that price. But I go to the guys, I start with the Masters duel, basically, of Scheffler and Smith this week off this tier.
I really like Cam Smith, too. We talked about him last week and kind of, you know, how would it be playing well versus the course history, and he kind of blew the course out of the water, played pretty well, finished 13th. But in this tier, with the discount I get off the top, I'm going Rory McIlroy. He's just playing so well right now. You look at the last 24 rounds, he's first in this field in tee to green, first in the field in ball striking, first in the field and off the tee. So, like, not just doing well, but, like, elite, playing better than anybody else right now. I get a $600 discount off Scheffler, $400 off JT. I'm going to go ahead and start a bunch of lineups with Rory. Just on fire right now, four straight top 20s. I know he was only 18th in Memorial, but, you know, lost strokes putting, just a kind of struggled there, but still gained 7.5 tee to green. I think Rory's just playing really well right now. He's won. The last time they played this tournament was, what, 3 years ago? And he won on a different course, but, you know, has won in Canada. I think he's playing the best out of the top tier here. I think he's really using this as a tune-up, maybe more than Scheffler and JT, who had just won tournaments. Give me Rory at 10-5. Take the discount and kind of roll and start with there.
All right. No interest in Sam Burns?
Sam Burns is actually my second off this list. I like how he's playing. Just at 10,000, there's enough guys in the nines and the high eights that I really like that'll probably get squeezed out on Burns a little bit this week at the price.
Okay. Let's move on to the nines. Matt Fitzpatrick at 99, Harold Varner, 97, Corey Connors, a little home juice pricing there at 96, their Canadian pricing. Tyrrell Hatton at 95, Tony Finau, 94, Adam Hadwin, 93, Sebastian Munoz, 92, Chris Kirk, 91, Keith Mitchell, 9,000. Scott Jensen, what do you got?
Man, I love this range. That is a great range in a tournament like this. And I think that I'm going to try and at least get 110 and 19, or maybe 29s or maybe 39s. I'll try and figure it out, because I think that the eights is kind of a weak range this week, because I think of the sevens and the eights are kind of the same. They're all tough. There are a couple guys in the eights I like, but I love Matt Fitzpatrick this week. Missed the cut last week all on putting. Lost 7 point strokes putting. He was putting really well. Putted terribly last weekend. Super accurate off the tee, which I think you really needed this course. It's very thin fairways. As Jeff mentioned, the heavy rough, a lot of trees. You're going to have to hit fairways here. His approach gain has been pretty good. Not great, but good enough. But you look at the field the last 24 rounds. He's third in tee to green, seventh in ball striking, third off the tee, third around the green. Complete game right now. I liked him as a fade last week coming off the crazy hot putting. Now we get a cold putting week. I do really like him. I also like Tony Finau too. 9,400 seems like the game is finally back. He was fourth at the Charles Schwab, gained over seven shots tee green, 4.9 approach. He had that rough stretch we talked about a lot earlier in the year. Has had great tee to green numbers in three of the last four, not just good, but great. He's made six straight cuts, two top fives in there, five top 35s. This feels like a field that he's a little underpriced at 9,400. He's kind of like the bottom of the really good players that are playing this week, and then it really drops off after him. So I do like him. And I think I'll let Jeff talk, but I think Corey Connors and Icy Hunter is also playable. Those are my three favorite guys here. I think he's a really good range. There's a lot of playable guys. I think Harold Varner is mispriced here. 9,700, I think, is way too high for Varner. I don't think he fits in this group.
Yeah, Varner also punching up a tier now this week, along with Shane Lowry. I think I flagged Fitzpatrick. I still think he's on the in the midst of one of his – I think this is his best season ever. He hasn't won on the PGA Tour yet, which is surprising. But this is another shorter, quirky golf course. You know, I tend to just steer away from him on longer tracks and back into him when it's ball striking and short game. And so this is one of those weeks. And I also think Tyrrell Hatton had a good week at the PGA. Tends to show up at big events and big fields. And just, you know, I think he's a guy that he wins everywhere in the world. And you think he might win a little more on the PGA Tour. But maybe this is going to be one of his weeks too. He played well. Strokes gained approach stats are strong lately for Hatton. So Hatton, Fitzpatrick are my two off this tier.
Yeah, Hatton's first in this field in short game too. So if you like your point before with the small greens, if you get some short game stuff, he's been playing really well around the greens. I like all four of those guys. It's a great, great range.
Do you like, what do you think about the Canadian angle at the Canadian Open? Extra pressure on these guys or rise to the moment?
I have a stat for you, Jeff.
Oh, I like
this. No Canadian has won the Canadian Open since 1954.
And who was that?
I don't know. well, I could look it up quickly, but it's
Guy Lafleur. Definitely.
He's no longer on tour. So perhaps you want to go against trend and say it's overdue, it's going to happen. Give me Corey Connors, give me Mackenzie Hughes, or I don't know, or it's just one of those weird quirks. Of
the answer to that question is someone named Pat Fletcher.
That sounds like a Canadian name.
I do not know who that is, but I think it's a little bit added pressure for Connors because, you know, he's definitely the Canadian guy, but he's playing so well. Should be a good course fit. He is a really accurate driver of the ball. I think it's a little more pressure though, but I do think he's very playable. I think it's a tough range. There's so many guys I do like in here.
Well, Adam Hadwin's a Canadian hope too at 93. I mean,
you can have him.
Yeah. I'm just saying he's right there in terms of expectation level, probably. Yeah. Let's move on to the 8,000s. Former friend of the Ritter team, Patrick Reed at 89, Justin Rose, 88, Sahith Theegala, current friend of the Ritter team at 87. Johnny Vegas, 85. Mackenzie Hughes, Canadian, 84. Rasmus Højgaard, 83. Brendan Todd, 82. CT Pan, 81. Jeff Ritter, what do you got?
Well, I've gotten burned by Reed and Rose one too many times this season and in past podcasts. So I'm back to current friend Sahith Theegala, who is – I mean, he's playing his way into this rookie tier. I mean, Cam Young's been incredible. Davis Riley has been great, but Theegala was right there early in the year. You know, he's a lot of top tens, had the lead on Sunday at, I believe it was Phoenix. You know, just looking for a guy who maybe is having a second peak and getting kind of comfortable again on tour and playing really well. I might start with him. And then I also like CT Pan again, just looking at the stats and his approach game. As someone who's been playing well lately and nice course fit. So those are my two favorites off this tier, but there's several others that are intriguing, but I'm going to put Reed and Rose up on the shelf, not going there this week.
I do not like the top end of this range. I think the way this field works out, I am not paying up at the top end of this range, but a couple guys at the bottom, I'm going to echo Jeff on the CT Pan. You look at the top five, you took it's shot gains approach in this field, last 24 rounds, the top five guys are all 10,000 or above. So all the elite players, number 7, 8, and 9 are all over 9,400. So that's eight of the top nine over 9,400. CT Pan is sixth in that group at shot gains approach. He is in the last 24 rounds playing really well. 8,100. He made the cut last week and he made a 10 on a hole. Yep. Like that is crazy. At a par five, he's 5 over on the hole. I was like, oh, this one's done. All of a sudden he started making birdies, made the cut, battled back. I love to see that. Has struggled off the tee a little bit, but you got 9 straight weeks getting on approach on a course like this. I think it's really important. 7 straight made cuts. He's priced up a little bit. I was hoping to see him in kind of the mid sevens, but 8,100, I think he's still playable. And then I think I'm going to go with your guy, Jeff, Rasmus Højgaard. I think you have him in our league, right?
I had Nikolai Højgaard, and because he played like 2 tournaments. And then, yeah, so I do not have him. But so he's available, I think, if you want to go pick him up.
Rasmus is playing well. He's made it worldwide. He's 11 for 11 on cuts this year. He has 2 top 20s his last 3 DP Tour events. He was 10th at the Dutch Open, 16th at the British Masters, both in May, too. So, like, fairly recently. His last 2 PGA events, he putted really well, and that's a little bit scary there, but he was 6th at Punta Cana. He was 18th at Valero. Didn't play great at Valero, but putted really well and kind of saved himself there. But he's kind of competing around the world. Some top 20s. That's what, 4 top 20s in the last few months. I think 8,300, he's playable, but I'd probably lean CT Pan first if I had to go one guy in the range.
All right. Very good. Before we move on to the 7,000s, a quick note from our Blue Wire sponsors.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
With threats to our nation waiting around every corner, adaptability is more important than ever. When conditions change without notice, quick strategic thinking is crucial. And with obstacles consistently impending, determination is essential in overcoming them. It's this willingness, decisiveness, and resilience that sets Marines apart. With our fighting spirit, we don't just fight battles, we win them. Marines are the constant our nation counts on to fight the unknown. And through adaptable problem solving, we do just that. Learn more at Marines.com.
A quick note from my dog, Harley, as well. Many quick notes from him. Hopefully it's not too distracting for you guys. Apologize for that. Let's move on to the 7,000s. Again, I won't list them individually. I'll let you guys just tackle them. It's top half of the 7,000. Scott, who do you like?
7,000 is tough this week. These are, last week we were dealing with Aaron Wise was in here and he finished second, like really good names, guys playing well. It's a tough range. You have to kind of take a little leap of faith, but my first guy is going to be Pat Perez. I think he gets helped a little bit on a course where you don't need to be long. He's made 5 straight cuts. Last couple tournaments, he was 12th and 26th, which is really nice. Hitting it well, tee to green. So I do really like, I like Pat Perez, but just playing
except
really well.
Except he withdrew.
Oh, when did that happen?
We have a note today. Saying that he's out. He withdrew from the Open. So,
well, that's the first time that I didn't have a guy withdraw on Thursday morning on my event.
Yeah,
so that's
you're good. Getting ahead of the curve. I like that.
All right. Well, I'm gonna flip down. Sorry about that. I saw Adam Shank withdrew, and he was my other play way down to 6,000. So this is a bummer. I'm going to go Tyler Duncan then at 7,500. I think he's another guy. It's a very, really good course fit. He's 10th in this field in driving accuracy. So really good in terms of just hitting fairways. He gained 4.8 at approaches at AT&T. He gained well tee to green at Schwab last week, finished 15th. And he's just a guy who's playing well, who kind of fits this course well. And since Perez withdrew, my second name in here would be JJ Spahn, who pops up in a lot of the stat models. He's very up and down, but his ball striking numbers, you look at this field, he's 6th in ball striking last 24 rounds, 10th in approach. So he's one of these guys that kind of pops stat-wise, but it's very up and down. Some risk with taking him, but I think he can actually be up a leaderboard, but he can also miss the cut. But give me Duncan and then Spahn. I apologize for my Pat Perez.
That's all good. Probably just happened right before. Yeah. Our friend and colleague Len Hochberg always recommends Tyler Duncan on shorter courses.
Yeah.
So
he's super accurate.
Yep. Jeff?
I didn't realize that Len was on Duncan too. I was going to say this is, I had Duncan queued up as new name of the pod to the podcast, Tyler Duncan, but Scott may beat me to it. But I like the profile a lot for this golf course. He's an accurate player, quietly ascending, which you like out of this tier. Just give me a reason. We think we're going to make the cut and maybe make some noise. And I think there's enough there for Duncan. So he's really my one guy. I had a really hard time in the 7,000 tier of.
Okay. Really being excited. How about the lower sevens? Like anybody in the lower sevens?
Duncan was my cheat code because he's right at 75 where I could play him in the upper tier or lower tier. But I don't, you know, as I skim through it again, I don't, you know, we've got
Duncan was my
other friend of the podcast, Austin Smotherman, although it hasn't been, I think he's on hole for two run. I got to look him up again.
He's at 75. Yeah.
Yeah.
He made the cut last week at Charles Well, but did not play well. That's back-to-back week losing shots, gain, and approach. So I'm a little worried that he had a little bit of a Smotherman wall there.
He blew up on Sunday, 78 on Sunday. Would have been in line for a pretty decent place otherwise. But Sunday was tough. I mean, Sunday, a lot of people blew up on Sunday for a reason. It's when the course is at its toughest. So it's not like you can just write it off. You're supposed to blow up if you're not playing well. Scott, how about you? You like any low sevens?
I'm not going to say that I like anybody. You're going to need some guys down here. If we want to play these top guys, you're going to have to put someone down here. A couple names. I do like JT Poston a little bit. He's very up and down, but the thing I like is when he's up, he's actually competitive. He has two top tens. He's also has double missed cuts in the last five events, but he's gained an approach in five of six, so hitting the ball pretty well. He's gained huge in tee to green in two of his last five. He's lost in a couple, so he's very up and down. But someone who does, if you find a good week, can actually make some gain here and actually make the leaderboard, which is a good thing. My other guy, maybe he's a little more floor-based, is David Lipsky, who has made four of five cuts, had a sixth in Mexico, was 37th last week Memorial, 48th at Schwab, 25th at 18th. He's playing really good golf right now. He's gained an approach in five of 6 weeks. He's 7,300. I think he's playable as a guy that, like, not going to win, not going to make the top 20, but can get in, make the cut. And I think down here, if you get cut makers, six out of six can be very, very, very difficult this week, especially if people want to play those guys over 9,000. Everyone wants to get a couple of those guys in the lineup. Getting the cut makers down here is going to determine who wins. I don't think you need top 20s this week here. I think you need guys to make the cut. And I think Lipsky's a good formula for that.
All right, cool. How about in the sixes? Any other cheapies you like, either of you?
I think Brandon Wu is interesting. I don't remember. Did you pick him up, Jeff?
I did. And then he made a cut last week. And again, he was another Sunday blow
up. He went back-to-back Jerry Rice on the weekend.
Yeah.
Did he really?
Ooh. Yeah.
Okay. Well, I mean, 80. A young guy finding his, you know, trying to find it. I'm not necessarily scared off. You're looking for a cut made at that price. So I think he's interesting. The other guy, I do have one new name for the podcast. This is always a good time of year to go looking for those NCAA grads who are now coming out feeling good. They've been winning everything for a few months and confidence is high. And so Chris Gotterup, I might be blowing that last name. I have not seen him play yet, but he's priced at 6,300. He is your Haskins Award winner. I'm pronouncing that correctly. And if you're the Haskins Award winner in college, you are the best player in America coming out of school. And so
he was seventh at Puerto Rico too, right?
That's what I was going to say. Yeah. It's not his first go around. He's popped. He's had one event and it came in seventh. So perhaps the stage is not too big. He didn't win in the last month, but four straight top tens in the NCAA. So kid's feeling good about himself. He's up in the big leagues. And I think at that price, 6,300, I mean, now you can put a Scheffler in your lineup, or maybe you can get two guys in the 10,000s and take a shot at the kid that's probably going to be carrying his Oklahoma bag around, you know, for the week. But this happens every year. There are guys that come out of college and, you know, they make a little noise in the summer and maybe the setup's there for him.
Yeah, this year hasn't been a hype year like the year that, you know, we saw
Bryson,
or Hovland and that class, Hovland, and Colin Morikawa and Wolf all at the same time, you know, and Scheffler was all in that same group. I mean, we haven't had this isn't it, but you know, you never know.
Jeff, first of all, I'm glad you finally got my Jerry Rice joke as you looked up what his scores were on the weekend.
Sorry. a lot on my mind.
I'm kidding. Usually I don't
get translating your for those who are not diehard Niners fans or on this planet or anything.
Not like I mentioned JJ Stokes. Jerry Rice is a pretty big name. Yeah. couple of names in the 6,000, and I kind of leaned into the I want guys to make the cut, so I'm going to make them fit the course. My first guy is Satoshi Kodaira, who is very accurate off the tee, but short when he drives. But it doesn't affect him. We got 7,000 yards this week. We got tight fairways. He has a lot of missed cuts, but when he plays well, he really actually plays well. He has 4 top 35s his last 8. When he hits, he tends to really hit, and he's a pretty good setup for him, too. I also like a guy we've probably never talked about in the podcast ever, 6,500. David Lingmerth kind of fits this profile, too. He's short, but he's top 10 in fairways gained. He's a really accurate driver of the ball. I gained 4.2 shots in approach last Memorial, finished 48th. In 2022 so far, he's made 4 of 5 cuts. So I think, again, you're trying to get guys who make the cut down here. I think Lingmerth will make the cut. I think he's going to hit the fairway. Again, not going to win. I wouldn't bet him. I wouldn't bet him top 10, anything like that. But I think he makes the cut. And this week at 6,500, making the cut is going to be very, very valuable.
Yeah, made it last week. Solid. Not spectacular any round. But, yeah. I had Kodaira when he won that tournament. It was a couple of years ago, and it was pretty sweet. Because he was, like, dropped and picked up and picked up and dropped again. And just, yeah, good story.
Yeah, RBC Heritage.
Yeah. So I always have a soft spot for him on that one there. Yeah.
I just think both those guys make the cut. I think they kind of fit this course really well, hit the fairway, hit the green. I think both help your lineup and make the cut, and that's kind of all you want this week.
Exactly. All right, let's shuffle on down to the SI Sportsbook. Take a look at our betting sheet this week. You know, maybe not as much volume this week, U.S. Open next week and all that, but let's take a look anyhow and see what we like. What do you guys like this week?
I'm going to go with, I still like Tyrrell Hatton, 28-1. I like Scott. I've just started to shy away from betting guys who are less than 20-1 on straight tickets bets, but 28-1 for Hatton. I like that a lot. I'm going to do my, fantasy team hedge bet with Patrick Reed at 40-1. I just feel like it's coming. I feel like it's going to happen. And then I like CT Pan and Sahith Theegala for top 10s. They're both 11-1 just to crack the top 10. And then I'm trying to see if my eyes deceive me. Is it 50-1 for our new friend of the podcast, Chris Goderup out of Oklahoma, just to make the top 10, 50-1?
Why not? That is correct. I see that
feel
also.
Feel good story. All right, that's it. That's enough for this week, but I'm in.
I think this is a week where the field is so top heavy that I just want kind of some shots at these second tier guys. I think that can win the tournament. So I'm going to go 3 guys under 30-1, but none of the elite guys. So I'm going to go Matthew Fitzpatrick at 18-1. I think he's got a really good chance to win this week. I'm actually going to Tony Finau this week at 28-1. I think the game is coming together, and he's a pretty good field for him to compete in. And then I'm going to go Tyrrell Hatton with Jeff also at 28-1. I mean, it's a really good price for a guy who's, you know, just playing well, plays tough courses well. You know, we see him in majors, kind of just gets it around. And I really like Hatton this week at 28-1. It was between him and Connors for me at 22-1. I think I'm just going to take the higher price and go with 2 guys who I kind of have ranked pretty much the same. Then I'm going to drop all the way back. I'm going to have a couple bucks on CT Pan at 55-1. Then a couple bucks on Tyler Duncan at 125-1. Probably a top 10 on Tyler Duncan also, I think, is a good play. We had Brendan Steele last week cash for the top 10. He just snuck in there at T10. So these T10 bets can really be good on these deeper guys. So you don't think can win, but you know, maybe sprinkle the leaderboard like Steele did last week. So I'm going Fitz, Finau, and Hatton. I think one of those 3 guys wins this week if we can get past the Scheffler, Thomas, McIlroy. I think they're a little too highly priced this week. So I'm going to go second tier with guys who I think can win.
All right, one and done. Strategy, do you spend on a big name this week or do you take a shot? I think that's really the question. I mean, because we all are going to have at least one or two big names still left. The problem is, do you want to spend one of those big names when you still have – 2 majors left, and then the playoffs still left.
I'll go first since Jeff went first on the betting. I don't have a lot of the big names left. I've weirdly kind of used the ones that happen to be in this field. So I'm going to drop down kind of second tier. I'm going to go with Tyrrell Hatton. I have not used him. I thought about Cam Smith, but I like Hatton a little bit more on this course. So I'm going to go Tyrrell Hatton as mine with the thought that I think he competes this week.
It's a good pick. I somehow have Cam Smith and Justin Thomas left, which shows you how much I've mismanaged this pool this year. So, but I'm not going to use them now. I'm going to go. Hat's very tempting, but I'm just going to be different, and I'll take my kind of co-favorite. I think Fitzpatrick's a great pick. I'm going to take him this week.
That would be my pick, except I've used him. Otherwise, I would have picked Fitzpatrick. So I love that. Yeah.
So I was hovering over Fitzpatrick when you said that. But talk about mismanagement. I have Scheffler, Cam Smith, Rory, and Fitzpatrick all still remaining. Or I could go Finau. I've got lots of options here. Lots of options aren't good this late in the year.
Take Rory.
I am going to take Rory. And then I'll do like Fitzpatrick as my alternate pick. Because always on officefootballpool.com, you get to do an alternate pick. As we've learned, that you're an idiot if you don't use an alternate pick there. Because withdrawals happen. They happen all the time. So that's why they provide it. You need to use it. Any other parting thoughts?
What about when your guy gets DQ'd in round one for using a three-way that
you get looks nothing like, and like it?
That looks
we're pretty sure Patrick Reed turned him in, right?
Looks like a third grader.
Was that his playing partner in the tournament?
I don't think he did, but it was Reed was his playing partner, which is actually pretty funny with how it worked out.
Yeah, no doubt. Tremendous. That is really funny. All right, guys. Any parting thoughts before we take off?
More than anything, Jeff, have a good trip, man. I look forward to hearing about it, and it should be a lot of fun. So safe travels to you and the family, and I hope it's great.
Thank you much. And while we're wishing well wishes, happy birthday to Scott Jenstad for the gaming golf audience. They can wish him to you as well there. Have a great one.
Appreciate that.
No problem. Well, as long as if you guys are both just praising yourself, I mean, I think you're both okay. I appreciate it.
Oh, thanks, Jeff.
I'll take okay most days, so I'm good with that.
Yep. All right, guys, be well. It'll be just the two of you next week for the U.S. Open, and I'll be back for the critical tournament, that critical stretch run between the U.S. Open and the British Open, where we're at various places in the Midwest. So be looking forward to that as well.
Send us your one and done, at least, so we can – make fun of you.
Yeah, it's Rory. It is Rory.
No, for next week.
Next week.
Oh, yeah. I'll do that. I will do that.
Otherwise, I'm giving you Danny Lee.
All right. Very good. All right, guys. Take care. Thanks for listening to Gaming Golf. Have a great day.